Girlfriends, episode number 369, How to Thrive as a Work-from-Home Mom. Hello and welcome to Girlfriends. I'm Danielle Bean. I'm a wife and a mom, and I'm on a mission to help you know your worth as a woman so you can find peace, balance, and joy in family living. This week, we're talking about a topic that comes up again and again. How can we thrive as a work-at-home mom? We're all balancing many things. We're going to talk about some of that nitty-gritty right here today. Let's get going. Hey, girlfriend, welcome. I'm so glad you're here for this newest episode of the Girlfriends Podcast. Always happy to be able to connect with you here. Before we dive into this week's topic, I want to remind you, if you haven't already, to go over and get yourself registered along with a friend, maybe buy a gift for your mom, for a friend of yours, for a sister, for the A Heart Like Mary's virtual retreat for women. This is happening Saturday, May 20th, live online with me and Father Ed Looney. It's going to be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. But even if you can't join us live in this virtual event, please do register. I want you to be a part of it. You will get the downloadable audio and video after the fact, along with another lot of packages of goodies that you're going to really enjoy that are part of this retreat. So this retreat is focused on Mary's Immaculate Heart and what we can learn as women, how to live and love like Mary. What can we learn from Mary's Immaculate Heart? So thrilled to be doing this with Father Ed Looney. I've been a fan of his for a very long time. He's got a book that's called A Heart Like Mary's. He's a Marian theologian, just an all-around holy man, a good priest, and an excellent teacher on all things Mary. So I'm looking forward to his presentation. That's part of the retreat. I will be giving a presentation as well. There will be time for live Q&A. So this is a great time for us to have some live interaction. You can get all the information about this over at goodcatholic.com/retreat. Go over there. The link is in the show notes. The link is in all of my social media. You will be able to find us. Easy to register. Get yourself on that list so that you don't miss out. Really want you to be a part of this. And, you know, we purposely plan this around Mother's Day, but it's not just for moms. It's for women from all walks of life, women in all different ages and stages of motherhood, of living out family life, of working in the workplace. Really, Mary's heart is an example for all of us in all the different ways that we are called to love and serve others in the world today. So I'm really hoping that you will join us and be a part of this special exclusive event happening Saturday, May 20th. Again, it's called A Heart Like Mary's. All the information you need, including that discount if you register yourself and a friend at the same time, is over at goodcatholic.com/retreat. All right, today's topic, very much in line with the needs of women, right, is talking about working from home. This is something that comes up again and again. I have always worked from home going back, you know, 15 years. No, my son is 16 now. So I first ever became a work-at-home mom when my son Danny first came home from the hospital. I was just starting part-time work from home as a magazine editor. And I had no idea what I was doing, but I do remember I attended my first meeting, which, you know, Zoom wasn't a thing yet. So we had these phone conference calls, but I was sitting up in bed, probably like a week and a half postpartum, nursing baby Danny and attending my first phone conference call. And I was like, okay, is this what working from home is like? Trying to figure that out. And in the years since, I've always worked from home in some capacity. And it's always been kind of a non-negotiable part of me doing any kind of work was that I needed to be able to do it from home in order for it to work for me and my family. So definitely I have a bit of experience on this, but the idea to bring it back up came from an email that I received from listener Lindsay. And Lindsay wrote this. She said, first of all, thank you so much for your podcast. I love it. It feeds my soul. Thank you for your ministry. It is truly amazing. I'm a 29-year-old mom in Texas with a 2-year-old son and another son on the way. I currently teach high school full-time as well. Teaching has been a great career for me for the past 7 years. However, it is very hard to juggle this job while also having a home and children to care for. My husband works long hours as a principal, which leaves me to do most of the housework, caretaking during the week. I don't mind doing it as I love being a wife and mother, but I'm also just so tired. Unfortunately, we can't live off of my husband's income alone. I feel such a strong pull to stay home and raise my boys. However, I have to bring in some sort of income in order to do so. Do you have any advice on this? In your opinion, would working a part-time job from home be worth it? Or am I imagining it to be easier to say than it is to be done? Do you have any advice or suggestions on what types of jobs I could be looking for? Thanks so much for taking the time to read. All my best, Lindsay. Okay, so this brought the topic back up to sort of to the forefront of my mind, although I hear from people all the time who are wondering about how working from home works, especially since COVID. So many people are working from home who never did before. More employers are open to it than ever were in the past. And, you know, sometimes just some sort of a hybrid mode is a possibility for people. So it definitely is a timely topic and something that comes up a lot. I did a previous episode of the Girlfriends podcast where I talked about this. This was about a year and a half ago or so, five tips for working from home. And I will link to that in the show notes. But just in case you're not going to go and click that link and listen to that one, I'm going to recap what I shared there, but I have a little bit more that I want to add as well. Okay, so the five tips that I gave in that one about working from home, and then we'll get into the, you know, finding a job kind of thing, Lindsay, that you're asking about. If you are working from home, to make it doable for you, first and foremost, give your day to God. This was what I said in that original podcast on this topic. You can do it by praying a morning offering. But whatever you're going to be doing in your day, you want to be doing it for God. And our time belongs to Him. Our work belongs to Him. All of the opportunities we might have, we need to be entrusting Him with the care of our families and all these things that we care so much about and that we're focused on. People who are working from home, give your day to God first and foremost. Make sure that you're doing that. And then look for times in your day where you could pause and pray and kind of repeat that morning offering. Give your time to God again. Remind yourself that whatever it is you're doing, whether you're working, caring for your little boys, or you're working, you know, teaching kids in a classroom, or you're working, doing some kind of remote work on the computer, that it's all meant to bring glory to God. All the ways that we use our gifts, all the ways that, you know, we work and give of ourselves in order to serve our families, it's all to give glory to God. So give your work to God, give your day to God. So start very deliberately. Anybody should do this, but especially if you're working from home and you're kind of struggling with that kind of like, what should the balance look like in my day? Give it to God. Give God your schedule. Help, you know, He will help you figure out what that balance should look like. All right, the second tip that I shared in that original podcast way back when, probably, I think it was right in the throes of COVID that I did this, so a few years ago. Be clear about your boundaries. If you're working from home and you have kids, you need to know, like, and your kids need to know, like, are you working or are you not? Are you interruptible or are you not right now? So you might have a space where you work, and if the door is closed, you can tell kids, don't open this door or disturb me unless it's an emergency. Of course, you know, you have to have people that are taking care of younger kids if you're going to do that kind of work from home. But if you're just like sitting on the couch on your laptop and it's work time, it's supposed to be focused work time, well, your family needs to know that it's supposed to be focused work time. So figure out a way that you can do that and set up some basic boundaries for not only your family, but first and foremost, yes, with your family, if you're working from home, like when I'm working, these are the rules. When I'm working, you can't play in this way with these noisy toys if I'm on the phone, or you can't, you know, interrupt me for little things. You know, you can't come and demand that you're going to have lunch when we know lunch is in an hour, that kind of thing. So setting up those kind of basic expectations and boundaries for your family. But on the flip side, also setting up those basic expectations and boundaries for your employer. Because one of the things that I have found tricky about working from home is you could always be working. You know, like the laptop is always there and, you know, the phone is always there. You're always getting the notification. So setting up some of those boundaries that, you know, you're not going to answer emails after a certain time each day, or you're not going to be replying to messages on weekends, or, you know, whatever makes sense for your position with your work and what your expectations are at that workplace, but being clear about it. And, you know, something I've discovered through the years is whether it's your family or it's your coworkers or your boss that you're kind of training in this way, people do respond to it. You can teach them how to communicate with you just by your feedback and either being responsive or non-responsive. I think that's a really helpful thing. So, I mean, I know that I do this. Like, you know, there are certain people that I work with and I'm like, oh, I certainly am not going to like text this person after 5 p.m. because I know that they're not responsive to that. That's not how they work. You know, they're checked out at that time. Like, I just know this from working with people, you know? So you can train people in that way. So on both sides, being clear about what your boundaries are, because if there aren't boundaries on both sides, you are going to get burned out. You are going to be trying to give everything to everyone all the time. You're going to feel on call all the time, and it's exhausting. So make sure that you have those kind of boundaries set up and that they're reasonable. The third one I shared in that previous podcast was make a plan. Have at least a loose plan for your daily schedule. Like, what times are you going to work? What times are you going to be available to your family? What are your goals for the day? If you're working a certain number of hours, make sure that you're keeping up with those hours that you owe your employer and figure out how to make that happen. One of the great things about working from home, most work from home situations, is that it doesn't have to be 8 straight hours in a row. If you're working an 8-hour day, you could get up early and get 3 hours in, then you could have a break where you're doing things with your kids, and then you'd get some more hours in and maybe work some more during nap time. And, you know, being flexible about it. Of course, you have to be responsible and you have to be following up and making sure you are getting those hours in, but making that plan. And people really like a plan. Your family will really like that you have a plan, like at least a loose plan for your daily schedule. They get used to these routines, that this is the time when mama's doing this work and we're expected to, you know, be working quietly over here. Maybe you've got kids you're homeschooling, or you've got little kids that are going to sit and look at books during this time, or maybe you have some in-house help with childcare and they know that they're with a sitter during that time, or whatever it is. So making that plan and thinking it through, it really helps with people's expectations. It also helps you to focus on tasks, because you're not going to get continually interrupted. Maybe at first, as you're establishing these routines, it isn't magic. It doesn't happen overnight. But as you kind of work toward these routines, and it's going to look different for everybody. You might know someone who works from home and they do it a certain way, and you might think that's the ideal, but maybe that's not how you're going to work. Maybe that's not going to be a good fit for your family or your particular circumstances or your kids at the ages and stages they are right now. Just be open to kind of working out a flexible plan and, you know, really putting that plan in place, but just trying to dive into it and be like, I'm home and I'm working and just in and out of work or in and out of home things all the time. You're going to wind up exhausted and burned out. So don't do that to yourself. All right. Number four, break up your tasks. I think it's really mentally helpful to go back and forth. I've always done this. I talked about this a little bit in our Ways to Be More Creative podcast a couple of weeks ago, where I was talking about, you know, building in breaks in your day and doing different kinds of work. I think we really thrive as human beings when we don't do just like one kind of work for several hours straight. I really like to break up, and the way that I've done it through the years as a work-at-home mom is I have work that I need to do for my employer or for various projects that I'm working on. And that's one kind of category of work. Usually that's on a computer. Usually that needs to be, you know, quiet, more focused work. And then I have other work that I can be doing around the house. And when the kids were little, there was all kinds of things that they needed from me. But things like laundry, things like meal prep, things like cleanup, things like, you know, just going and quickly tidying up your bedroom or a bathroom or something, I find it's really helpful in my brain to switch back and forth between those things. So kind of breaking up your tasks, and it helps you to stay connected with your family and with your home, which is truly one of the benefits of working from home, is that you can do these things. You can move the laundry over. You can go make a plan for dinner, and you don't have to feel so out of touch. You know, when I very first ever was a working mom against my own plans and wishes, when my oldest daughter was first born, I was going into a workplace every single day and leaving my daughter with my husband or with my mom. She had excellent care, but that wasn't the point. I felt very disconnected. I felt disconnected from my home, from my family, from everything that really that I valued most in the world. So that was very hard for me. And so I really appreciate this possibility for connection, staying connected with my home and with my family, even as I am working professionally from home in many different ways, the many different roles that I've played in this way through the years. And, you know, each employer, I can tell you, I've been employed by several different places and I've worked for myself, and each kind of work has a different feel, has a different culture, has a different expectation. So there's no one size fits all for working from home. You've got to figure those things out and, you know, be honest and open with your employer, or if you're working with yourself, talk to your husband about it. Like, what are reasonable expectations, and really put a plan in place for that. But breaking up your tasks is a really helpful way, I find, to kind of remain focused and really give your best efforts to whatever work it is that you're currently focused on. All right, number five, the fifth tip that I gave in that last podcast that I did on this topic a couple of years ago was use the time you have. Like, stop waiting for a great big chunk of time that's going to fall into your lap for your work projects, because that is not going to happen, right? You need to use 20 spare minutes here and there, especially for big projects or if you've got like this real hard deadline. I will recommend, with a caveat, don't abuse yourself, but I will recommend getting up a little early, staying up a little late in order to, you know, find some time to get that work done. This has worked beautifully for me for years, sacrificing on a temporary basis a little bit of sleep and just being able to meet those deadlines by super focusing on work when other people aren't going to need me. I think you have to be willing to do that if you're going to work from home successfully. You have to be willing to adjust your schedule, you know, when there's a particular deadline or a particularly large project that really demands your focus and attention. This isn't all the time. I don't recommend sacrificing your sleep all the time, but you do have to be open to that for particular deadlines or other work projects that really require you to have focused effort, perhaps putting in more hours during certain times to hit a certain deadline or something like that. Definitely, that's one of the benefits of working from home, is that you are able to make your own schedule in that way. So those are the five tips that I previously shared, but I was giving it some more thought, and I had a few other things that I wanted to add to that list to really make working from home a situation in which you can thrive as a mom. Not survive by, you know, gritting your teeth, not just get through, not just make it workable, but really thrive. That's why I put that in the title of this podcast. Like, how can you thrive as a work at home mom? What can help you to do that? So I started to think of some ways that have really helped me to feel like the times in my work life that I felt like I was thriving as a work at home mom. What are some of the things that were helpful to me? And so I'm adding these to that original list. So first, have a space for your work. Now, you might have a home office, and that is great. You might find that if you're working at home, you hardly ever use your home office because you feel the need to be kind of at the dining room table or in the living room or where people are or something. But having a space for your work does not have to mean that you have a whole room that's set up just for your work. I mean, that can be very useful. And definitely, if you have it, yes, do that. But having a space could mean a little corner of the dining room table that you keep your stuff at, you know, or a little desk that's in your bedroom where you keep your work things. For years, I just worked out of my bedroom and I wrote whole books sitting on my bed with a laptop, you know. So you can do that. But I find it's helpful to have a little bit of organization. Like, where do you keep your laptop? Where do you keep your work papers? You know, all of your work things. Having them all in one place, and that isn't necessarily where you're always going to do your work, but having that space set aside for it is really helpful, and it adds a level of organization that I think is really helpful to you being efficient in your work and being more productive. So having a space set aside, it also helps your family to kind of, if you're not going into an office and closing a door when you're doing your work, if you're sitting in that space where you do your work, your family is going to recognize it, you know, and they will come to respect it, hopefully, a bit more, you know, the fact that you're working right now. And it allows you to kind of set those kinds of physical boundaries between when you're working and when you're not. And you can be creative about your office spaces. Like I said, you can have a corner in your bedroom. You might have a spare bedroom that you use. Like right now, I am recording in one of our spare bedrooms, which I use as an office right now. And works great. It's got a door that closes. It's quiet in here. And if I'm in here with the door closed, people know that I'm working. And if they need me, they can knock if they don't hear that I'm in a meeting. And, you know, that's fine. But there is that level of, they're not going to just come and just strike up a conversation if I'm doing focused work in here. You know, if they need something, they know where I am. But at the same time, and, you know, I no longer have toddlers in the house, so this is a different situation, but they know where I am. And so having a space that's set aside for it really does a lot for you mentally too, kind of like feeling more organized, knowing where your stuff is. Like if you have work documents that you're working with and that kind of thing, you really want it all in one place, right? You don't want it all littered throughout your house. And then you're like, where is that paper I was working with? I can't find it. Where are those notes I took during that meeting? Like having everything in one place is going to give you a lot of kind of clarity and mental peace of mind. The next thing I'm going to suggest is put your phone away. Your phone is a huge distraction. Yes, it can keep you connected with work. But I think whether you're focused on home at the moment or you're focused on work at the moment, putting your phone away is actually a really helpful thing on both ends. Like, if I am doing focused work, like say I'm recording a podcast like right now, my phone is nearby, but it is turned off and I'm not checking it. That will happen when I'm done with this chunk of work that I'm doing right now. That's how it works. You know, I'm not checking for texts from family and stuff. And then the same works with when you're with your family. You know, if you're with your family on the weekend or on in the evenings or a time when you're not working, put your phone away. You don't need to be getting those pings from your work Slack or whatever. So just kind of setting those boundaries with your phone. I think in general, just putting your phone away is just good human being advice. So I'm going to really recommend that you do it as a way of helping yourself to be more focused on your home, on your family, and then on your work when you're doing that. So whatever it is that you set this time aside for, make it richer and do a better job of it by putting your phone away. Okay, next tip for working at home, and actually this is just a tip for anybody working in any capacity, and is tame your email. Oh, email causes people so much stress. And when mine gets out of control, I get it because it causes me a lot of stress. But there are all kinds of apps and things that can help you to do this. But I really recommend just having like 2 times a day, maybe 3 times a day, depending on your workplace and what expectations are. It could be more where you're checking your email. You don't want to be spending all day in and out of email, answering little things here and there and responding to multiple messages. Tame your email by training other people with the ways that you respond. If you immediately respond to emails, they're going to expect you to immediately respond to emails. If you don't immediately respond, but you do respond in a timely manner, they're going to know that you do that. And you will have that space to work on something focused or to be focused on your home and family for a couple of hours until you get your next email check-in. Too many of us kind of feel like we're slaves to email or, you know, insert whatever form of communication is used in your workplace. It might be texting, it might be Slack, it might be, you know, any of these apps that people use for communication, might be Teams. Just know that that is meant to be a tool for you. You're not meant to be a slave to it, right? But I think beginning with taming email is a really important thing. So don't get up first thing in the morning and check your work email. Don't do that. Don't be checking it 15 times a day. Have times that are set aside where you have the time to respond to each one that you open, right? And maybe using things like folders will be helpful to you. I mean, all Outlook and Gmail and all the different email applications all have different tools that you can use in that way. I happen to love the schedule email feature. I use this in Gmail all the time where I will, when I'm doing emails, and sometimes what's, you know, the time that works for me for doing emails, maybe it's like after 9 p.m. and I'm going through emails and I want to reply to things, but I don't want to be sending the message to my workplace that I am working all hours, that I'm available after 9 p.m. Or conversely, when I'm sending this to people who report to me, I don't want them feeling like they have to respond to me at 9 p.m., right? So keeping it within business hours, it can be tricky if your time that you actually have for working on email is 9 p.m. So I always use the schedule, like send later feature for this. And you can even send like Teams messages later. So I'll schedule it for the next morning during work hours. And it's done. You know, it's out of my inbox. It's done. I know that message is sent and I've replied the way that I want to. And I know that it's getting done, you know, the next morning when people are working again. So using tools like that, I think, can be really helpful. I also really love the snooze feature in emails where, I don't know if other email systems besides Gmail have this, but you can like snooze an email. Like, I'm not prepared to reply to that right now, but I don't want to forget to reply to that when I get the information or, you know, on Thursday when I have more time or whatever. You just hit snooze on it and it'll resend you the email to come back to the top of your inbox. It's really a nice reminder. Another thing that Gmail does is it does nudges where if you sent an email and it sounds in your email according to Gmail, which, you know, creepy, they're reading our emails. Well, no, some AI is. But if it sounds like you needed a reply and you haven't gotten a reply, it will send you a little nudge. Like, do you want to follow up on this? And I find that so incredibly helpful. So using tools like that, I think, are really great. Really can be a great way to tame your email, which causes so much stress and can really be intrusive if you allow it to. So look for ways that you can do that, whether it's your personal email or your work email, really find a way to do that. All right. I also want to encourage you to write down your to-do list. And this is something where you might have an app where you like to do it. You might have, like, you might like to do it in the notes feature on your phone or whatever. I'll tell you what I do. It's super basic. I have in my Google Drive, I have a Google Doc that is just daily to-dos. And I will just write everything down in there. Every little thing, home things, work things. I sometimes try to separate it into two separate sections, the personal stuff and the work stuff, but everything is on there. And each day I'll kind of move things to the top, like that I reasonably can accomplish that day, that are my goals for that day. And I have that bookmarked just right in my browser on my laptop. So I can click it multiple times a day and see, like, what else am I supposed to be doing today? Or cross things off and see how I'm progressing toward those goals. Now, you might like to do this in a planner. You know, you might like to actually write this down. I've never been good about that. As much as I'm a writer, I do not do well with writing down my to-dos. I mean, occasionally I make lists for big events and that kind of thing, but I really like this for an ongoing way to kind of hold myself accountable and have it right there at the ready. It's not fancy at all. It's just a Google Doc and it's just got my list in there. And I find this really helpful because there are little things like maybe I'll be in a meeting and I'll be like, I'll tell somebody, oh yeah, I'll ask that person about that. Well, am I going to remember to do that? Well, I can just open that Google Doc and make a little note to myself to do it. Or even like a home thing, you know, there's something I realize, oh, I've got to make that appointment or whatever, and just put it in there. And, you know, the nice thing is it can be a really working document. You remove things from it as they're done. And then there are things that, you know, maybe they're always on the list down at the bottom and they're never getting moved up to the top. Well, maybe that thing's not a priority for you and you need to be honest about yourself. Anyway, I find it really nice to have a working document like that. But whatever works for you, write down your to-dos. And this is so helpful too. Like, I like to do this at the end of the day, kind of just write everything out that, like, especially during a busy time where I'm feeling stressed, like all those little things. Because you know what we women do? I think actually every human being does this, but women are just really good at doing this to ourselves, where we will like have all of these things in our head. Like, I've got to do this and that and this and that and the other thing. And none of them can be related, or they could all be just kind of tangentially related. And we will like try to go to bed or try to go to sleep. And these to-dos are running through our head, right? Because we're constantly reminding ourselves of them because we're afraid we're going to forget them, right? So do yourself a favor, write it down. Just have it written down. It gives you peace that you've written it down. You're not going to forget that little thing. And super simple process for doing it, whether it's a notebook you keep nearby or you use a Google Doc like I do, just make sure it's something that's easy for you to access and that you can kind of keep updated in that way. All right, two more things that I'm going to suggest for making work at home a situation in which you can thrive. First of all, rethink meal times, rethink your meals. So hard. So much pressure we put on ourselves as women. And I've been as guilty of this as anybody. I love to cook, but it's so difficult sometimes when you've got so many different obligations and you're trying to balance all of them. And you find yourself at the end of the day, I mean, just like Lindsay, who sent in the question in the first place, like she feels tired because she's doing all the things, right? And then at the end of the day, it's like, oh, everything is still falling on me. Like everybody's kind of looking to me for meal prep and whatever. So I want to encourage you to kind of rethink what your standards are for meals. That doesn't mean hitting the drive-through. It might occasionally mean that, and that's okay. But in a general way, like what are some easier ways that you can make mealtimes happen? Maybe putting aside some of your gourmet, lofty goals for recipes you want to do at home. Or maybe you want to take advantage of a meal service if that's something that you're interested in. And there are so many different kinds. There are some that send you like the meal ready to stick in the oven. There are some that send you like the ingredients along with the recipe. There are some that kind of hit an in-between space there. There are some that like just kind of are the grocery shopping for you, whatever. You know, find a way to make meals easier. You know, one thing that I've gotten in the habit of doing as I recovered from knee surgery was, of course, I had people I could send to the grocery store, but I wanted to pick out the stuff, you know, and I wanted to see what was on sale. I wanted to make the plans for whatever. And so I just got in the habit of using Instacart, which is available with our local grocery store, the one that I always shop at. So rather than going into the store, I was shopping online. There are so many options for this. And just that alone made meal prep and meal planning feel so much easier, so that I'm not keeping it up perfectly, but I'm still using that as a go-to sometimes when I need to. It's a great time saver. It's a great stress saver. Costs a little bit more. But, you know, making the decision that that's worthwhile for your peace and your sanity and your general well-being, I think is definitely worthwhile. So looking for something like that. There's so many different tools and different services and things that you can do. But just in a general way, think about how you do meal prep if it mostly falls to you. And look for ways that you might be able to kind of ease your load, make that a little bit easier. All right, last thing related is ask for help. Oh my goodness, why don't we ask for help when we need help? So if you're like struggling as a work-at-home mom or as a stay-at-home mom or as a work-outside-the-home mom, no matter what way that you're struggling, ask for the help that you need. That might mean asking for help from your husband. Not in a nagging, demanding, crying, whining, ask me how I know this stuff way, but just in a way that is letting him know what your needs are and letting him know what you're struggling with. He's your partner in this, you know, you're in this together. And so let him know what things are hard for you and some ways that he could possibly help, or ask him to help you think of who you could ask for help or some way that you could get support with whatever it is that you're struggling with. Also, you might ask a friend for help. You might have a friend who also works from home and you want to like swap childcare so you both can have focused working from home time. Great idea. Doesn't have to cost anybody anything. Can be really beneficial. Things like that. Maybe you want to have a mother's helper come in. Maybe you do want actual like someone who's in your house in charge of childcare during certain hours. You know, there's all kinds of things that you can ask for help with or that you can hire help with. And there's no shame in that game. You are only one human being and you have so many things that are vying for your time and attention. And part of what helps us to be happy and balanced and thriving, especially as a work-at-home mom, is having our priorities in place. And this can help you to do that. You know, asking for the help that you need, letting go of some of the things that you always do that maybe somebody else could do, maybe could just go away for a while and not be something anybody does. Really rethinking how you live your life in that way and making it work for you. I think it's really important on a regular basis, no matter what your work status is to look at your daily life, your daily responsibilities and duties, and do they still make sense? Like, are there things that you have an obligation to do each day or that you think you have an obligation to do each day that you really don't? You don't owe that person that thing, or you don't have to be a part of that thing anymore. It's not really serving you or your family anymore. Are there things you could let go of? So that's kind of the flip side of asking for help, is letting go of some things that are no longer working for you and making an honest assessment of it. All right, those are all of my tips for Lindsay. And Lindsay, so you asked too about what types of jobs you could be looking for. You mentioned that you were teaching. So many jobs you can do, teaching from home, different kinds of tutoring, different kinds of like lesson plan creation. I happen to know because my husband's an educator, that you can do working from home. I would really recommend, there's a website that I've used on and off through the years called Flex Jobs. And I think it's flexjobs.com. So if you go to flexjobs.com, there is a paid plan for it. Maybe you could just try a free trial and see if it works for you. But they have just listed in there all different employers for all different kinds of flexible work situations. Some of them are hybrid, some of them are full-time from home. But just going on there, and maybe you won't even apply for any of the particular jobs that are listed there, but there are thousands. You might just find something that just kind of piques your interest and you're like, oh, I didn't know people did that, you know, and you might look into that kind of work, you know, begin exploring in your area or something like that. So I really recommend that. And then, you know, just looking around, asking around. I love CatholicJobs.com because my faith is such an important part of what I do. So if you want your faith to be part of what you do, you could look in there and look for remote jobs there or hybrid jobs in there. And, you know, of course, the basic things like Indeed or Monster or whatever, you can always filter your search for remote or flexible or hybrid jobs. So there are lots of different things that you can look at there. Many different things work for moms that are working from home. And it all depends on what your skills are, what your interests are, and what your particular circumstances are, how you want to work from home. So hope all of that is helpful to Lindsay and anybody else who's considering or currently working from home. If you have something you'd like to add to what I shared here today, I would love to hear from you. You can email me, Danielle at daniellebean.com. All right, we've got more of the show coming up for you in just a minute, but first we're going to take a quick break. I'm Danielle Bean, and you're listening to the Girlfriends Podcast.
Hi, my name is Father Mike Schmitz. I am the host of the Catechism in a Year podcast. If you've been following along with us, you know that God's plan for us is a plan of sheer goodness, that he wants to bring us into a relationship with him. You know that already. One of the ways that God actually brings us into this relationship and keeps us, sustains us in this relationship is through the sacraments. Again, you might know that already. You might further know that so many of us miss out on the beauty and the power of the sacraments. But Ascension has an answer to this. Ascension has created two new programs. One is called Renewed, Your Journey Towards First Reconciliation. The second is Received, Your Journey Towards First Holy Communion. We know that our youth, they're our future. And yet at the same time, it's so hard oftentimes to reach them with this incredible news of God's love for them in reconciliation, God's love for them in the Eucharist. If you want to check out Ascension's new program, Renewed, Your Journey Towards First Reconciliation, and Received, Your Journey Towards First Communion, go to ascensionpress.com and sign up for a free preview.
Welcome back. Now we're at the point in the show where I like to share some listener feedback or a listener question. And funny, the question that sparked the topic working from home for me came from a listener named Lindsay. And this email comes from a different Lindsay, but they spell it differently. One is E-Y, one is L-Y-N, one is L-I-N. Anyway, and this Lindsay happened to write about a recent podcast about having kids at Mass. Here's what this Lindsay said. Dear Danielle, I love your podcast and wanted to send you a quick note about an idea regarding children at Mass. You had an episode on this several weeks ago, and in true busy mom fashion, I have been wanting to send this to you, but have only just now found a moment to do so. Anyway, your podcast was on handling young children at Mass. I have a 2, 4, and 6-year-old, and something that we have found very helpful is getting to Mass early and having the children stand as greeters at the entrance. This allows them to get some of their wiggles out as we are waiting and anticipating the next person coming in the door. It also allows us to connect with people in our parish. The older folks especially always love seeing a cute little one handing them a bulletin as they come in. And it has allowed us to get to know more people. When Mass starts and we take our seats, I feel like my children have had a bit of time to get into church mode and seem more ready to settle. My youngest still needs to be taken to the back sometimes when she gets a little loud, but we are usually met with reassuring smiles from folks because we are recognized by them, not just some noisy unknown mom with a screaming baby. Anyway, I thought I would share something that we've been doing for over a year now that has really made a difference in both connecting with more people in our church and letting my little ones feel a sense of ownership at church. As soon as we walk in, they put their coats in the pew and go directly back to the door to pass out bulletins. It has become their little thing. Lindsay. Okay, Lindsay, that is such a fantastic idea. I love that your kids are participating in your parish life in that way. And you're so right. That's a community building thing where you can be interacting with people, even if you only just know this little old lady from, you know, your child having handed her a bulletin on her way in. That's a connection that you've made. And you've already shared a smile with this person. So these are the kinds of connections that we want to be making. And just a genius, very simple idea. That's the kind of thing that we need when we're heading to Mass with little kids. So fantastic idea. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to send it in and share it with other people. I would love to hear from other people who give that one a try. If you have feedback along the lines of what Lindsay has shared with regard to children at Mass or with the topic here of working at home, I would love to hear from you. You can always connect with me. Send me an email, danielle@daniellebean.com, or connect with me on Voxer. I would love to get a voicemail from you on Voxer. You can send that to me through the link, which is always in the show notes over at ascensionpress.com. Okay, that's all the time we have for today. But before we wrap up, I want to give you one more reminder to go over to goodcatholic.com/retreat and check out all the information and get yourself and a friend registered for that upcoming women's retreat, which is going to be happening Saturday, May 20th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. It's a live virtual event. I would love for you to be a part of it. Even if you can't join us live, though, make sure you get registered so that you get the recorded retreat after the fact and that you get all of the information and all of the extra goodies and the bonuses that are part of registering for the retreat. Makes a great Mother's Day gift. It's focused on Mary, a heart like Mary's, Who doesn't want a heart like Mary's? I would love to connect with you on this topic, along with Father Ed Looney, who's the other presenter, and really just share about ways that we can learn to live and love like Mary. There's even time built into the retreat for live interaction with you and with us so that we can have a live Q&A. So I'm really excited for this way to connect with you outside of the podcast. And again, go to goodcatholic.com/retreat. All of the information is there. But for now, I just want to thank you for being here and connecting with me here today, because I don't take that for granted. I know you're busy, whether you're a work-at-home mom, a work-away-from-home mom, a stay-at-home mom, a single woman in the workplace, whatever you've got going on, I know you've got a lot on your plate. So it means a lot that you spend a little bit of time with me here each week. I'm so grateful for the time that we're able to share right here together in the podcast as girlfriends. So thank you for that. And until next time, I hope you enjoy your day and God bless your week. Girlfriends is a collaboration between DanielleBean.com and Ascension, the leader in Catholic faith formation.